Theater Talk is presented by 42 North Brewing Company's Theater District Tap Room.
For Theater Talk on BTPM NPR, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And I know all summer long I do this, you know, little calendar of how far through the summer we are. And it begins when Shakespeare in Delaware Park is in rehearsal and getting ready to go. But it absolutely ends when Desiderio's Dinner Theater in Cheektowaga, New York, finally ends the run of their summer show. After 10,000 performances, an old-fashioned family murder has come to the end of its run, or will come to the end of its run this weekend. So if you didn't make time for it, this is your chance. I had the fish.
I did too. It's delish.
It's
but
delish.
Anything is good.
Yeah, but to see Lisa Hinka outwit a killer and advance the career of her detective son, as she had his father before him. And that's the show. But you also, they don't serve dinner, but the Shaw Festival is also a very nice theatrical experience. And there are lots of restaurants in the area. But you got to Bernard Shaw's Heartbreak House, as well as One for the Pot, two plays both familiar to me.
One for the Pot is just pure 100% Shaw Fest, showing what they do best. It's a farce, many entrances and exits, slamming doors, hidden figures, costume changes. It's all there. It is a hoot. Very well done.
The kind of evening where even the curtain call is perfectly timed and staged, right?
It just, absolutely.
You know, right.
Absolutely. One thing, just to give folks an idea of just how good it is, after my wife and I came out of Heartbreak House, we were walking by the Festival Theater, and we heard this enormous applause. And my wife said, oh, that has to be Funny Girl, which it turned out it was.
It was.
But I said, well, you know, it could kind of be one for the Pot, because the audience reacted similarly to Funny Girl. Those are the two big shows, in my opinion. Funny Girl, One for the Pot, both using the Festival Theater to its best.
Years ago, I saw Heath Lambert's do it there, and just the zanies of yesteryear, and they refresh the supply every generation at the Shaw Festival. These actors who show no shame just dive headlong into the art form of making us laugh. It's delightfully wonderful.
Well, there are a lot of laughs, believe it or not, in Heartbreak House, even though it's ultimately very, very sad. And the characters are awful people.
I love seeing Shaw skewer despicable people. he and Noel Coward do it just so brilliantly. Just let them be themselves. And soon we're not laughing with them.
Well, he has a whole stage full of them.
This is Shaw meets Chekhov meets Oscar Wilde. You know, these despicable people walking toward the abyss and not realizing that that's where they're headed because they're just so full of themselves. Fair?
Absolutely fair. And even when it sort of could hit them, the play ends with the bombs of World War I going off, and they all talk about, oh, well, hopefully there'll be more bombs tomorrow night so we can come out and watch the explosion.
Despicable people.
Oh, my Lord, people. Get a grip.
That's a dark sense of humor. I know.
But I like the way you threw in Chekhov, but also Oscar Wilde, because Shaw, he just salts the whole evening with those little Shaw witticisms. As the actors were saying them, I thought, that's Oscar Wilde.
Well, Shaw was an early supporter of Oscar Wilde and a great admirer of his, though the one play that left him cold, that he just could not understand, the importance of being earnest.
The one play everybody has seen and remembers.
Everybody else likes that one. It didn't have the social commentary of Wilde's other plays, and that is what Shaw was looking for in a play, as Heartbreak House demonstrates.
So, you got down to the Big Apple, to Broadway and off-Broadway.
Yes, in fact, I did. I went back to see Just in Time again. It's had a change in cast. It's had two changes in cast, but I'd seen Jonathan Groff do it, and I wanted to see Jeremy Jordan, who has left The Great Gatsby, and I wanted to see him play Bobby Darin. And the show is just so beautifully structured. These thrilling icons of 1950s and 1960s music. Bobby Darin, who died at the age of 37, but not before a remarkable recording career, movie career, Oscar nomination, marriage to Sandra Dee, divorce from Sandra Dee, culminating at the end with him coming out and singing again, and with a big sing-off between Connie Francis and Sandra Dee. It's exhilarating.
It is a whole lot of fun, and for those of us of a certain age, it's a great remember when. Just in Time.
And I saw, well, in previews, so I'm not supposed to review, Paranormal Activity, which is a horror thriller ghost story from England. This, I will say, it is chock-a-block full of authentic scares, with some very convincing special effects.
What do they call that in the theater, where they talk about, you know, sex scenes, haze, smoke, use of firearms? How do they say it here?
You mean trigger warnings?
Yeah, right. You will jump out of your seat.
I'd turn back if I was you. That's also with humor, you know, that fabulous moment where the wife finally says, do you believe me now? Paranormal Activity. For Theater Talk on BTPM NPR.
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.